everybody. Welcome to worship. Welcome also to spring, because spring is finally strong, officially, meteorologically, astrologically, and weather-wise. There's not a bit of rain to remind us that it is summertime, so I know. But whatever the weather outside is, we should be thankful for God. The band were just singing there, and everything we do again, alleluia to God. And Psalm 113 says, blessed be the name of the Lord from this day forth and forevermore. So let's begin our worship this morning by singing those words. Our first hymn this morning is, blessed be the name of the Lord. And we hope these will come up okay, because they were just added in shortly. Quick hand by Bill there. So blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, righteous run into it and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Men and women, and we'll let you away with it just doing it as a winner because there weren't many here, but we're not going to be so kind this morning, so we'll all split this next one. starts in two parts. It's the men that lead off, and the ladies echo each line that the men sing. I don't know how it's going to come up. I don't think it'll probably be split men and women. So it's just a case of the men sing the line, the ladies repeat it. So we've done it many times before. And just follow Dan and Lizzo as the man. And it's, I lift my hands to the coming King, to the great I am, to you I sing, for you're the one who reigns within my heart. So it will be Cafe Church through next door in the big hall, of course. After that, we're into the school Easter holiday, where we always have a little bit of a break. The minister's away on holiday anyway, so a couple of weeks off. Then it's Easter Sunday. There's never an earlier Easter Sunday. We'll all be up the knock at 7 a.m, of course. And then across the road for our Easter service at 11. The Sunday after that is the last of the month again, so it's next door for the cafe service. And by the time you've done all that, we're into the first week in May, and we'll be back with an early service. So don't forget, just keep your eyes open and your ears open for information to remind you as we go. Our next hymn before we have on to the minister is just one that reminds us that if you ever stop and look around and do a count of how many people are here at any time, don't forget to add one to that, because as the Bible reminds us and as this song reminds us that as we are gathered, Jesus also is here with us. And I think we'll just remain seated for this one and sing a couple of times through as we are gathered.
Gracious God, as we gather together once more, we do so in this season of Lent, and we come in the name of Christ Jesus, remembering again those lonely and testing days that he endured in the wilderness. And we come recalling how deliberately he spent time there alone, reflecting on who he was and what you wanted of him. And we come reminding ourselves of the courage and the faith and the commitment that Jesus showed during that time, the qualities that were to characterize the rest of his ministry. Gracious God, as we gather, we pray that you would help us to use this time given to us. May we draw closer to you through it, understanding more of your nature and our own. May it deepen our faith and strengthen our commitment and confirm our sense of calling. May we learn what it means to follow Christ and what it means to serve you. And may we recognize more clearly the true cost of discipleship, but equally recognize the rewards. May we understand more fully what you have done in our lives and why you have put us here and what you would have us do, who you would have us be, how you would have us live, where you would have us go. Gracious God, prepare us through this time of worship, this day and this season, to understand and to celebrate more fully all you have done for us in Christ. And so may we love you more truly and serve you more faithfully, all to the glory of your name. This we ask in Jesus' name, who gave us this prayer to pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Well, just before we read our Bible passage for the day, let me just draw your attention to the notice sheet. And I saw that this coming Wednesday, for instance, is the Guild's annual meeting. And there'll be some entertainment following the business part of the meeting. Elizabeth Boyd's going to be singing. So the Guild meets at 2:30 and the entertainment will start around 3 o'clock. So if you'd like to go along to the Guild, it's always a great afternoon out. Lots of interesting things happening there, and I'm sure you'll hear more about it this coming Wednesday. Starts at 2:30. There are copies of the World Mission newsletter. There's also the Blythewood newsletter available through in the other hall if you want to get copies. And you might like to turn your attention to the praise gathering, number 4. Praise gathering on the 22nd, 23rd of June in Glasgow, and on the 15th of June in the Perth Concert Hall. And if you'd like to join the choir, there's an opportunity to do so. So there's details there of how to register and also how to get tickets. Item 5 about the Reverend Dave Hazel, I'm not sure how you pronounce his surname, that'll be happening fairly soon, hopefully on the 14th of April. So, lots of news there. Bill has also got an important announcement for us from Christian Aid.
Yes, you'll see on your table the emergency appeal inbox for the cyclone Mozambique, Zimbabwe and Malawi. And many of us here will go come back from Zimbabwe or from East to Malawi, so there's Scotland, Scottish connections for that part of the world. The cyclone started off the wind, which devastated the rather flimsy construction of many of the households there, and that was followed by huge amounts of rain and sea surges. If you can imagine the whole population of Perthshire overnight having no homes at all and no roads to access help and maybe one helicopter with a dozen sacks of food coming up at Creef, that's what it's like. Their storage of crops has been washed away. Although no new crops, much of the land that would be suitable for cropping has gone. So it's a dire situation. Population of Persia, multiply that by 100 and you're getting close to it. So I would appeal to you to take away the envelope, put something in it and drop it back in tomorrow or through my door if you know where that is. Not tomorrow, next Sunday. We'll keep this going for a couple of weeks because it's going to take years to sort out the devastation that's been caused. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. And we hear about tragedies from time to time. This really is a huge tragedy that's hit that area. Our reading in Luke's Gospel comes from chapter 13, and it begins with a tragedy. Chapter 13 of Luke from verse 1. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered that way? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig round it and fertilise it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." We'll sing again.
The next time if you had that, once you hear it, if you felt that, because it's somewhat Tyrolean feel to it, it wouldn't be wrong, because it's based on a Swiss folk melody, and the song is "I Want to Walk with Jesus Christ."
In one of the seasons of Doctor Who, when the Doctor was played by David Tennant, there was a recurring phrase through the whole of that series, but it only became evident towards the end of the storyline, towards the climax of the storyline, that that phrase had been seen right throughout the whole series. Now, I wonder if anyone knows what that phrase was. It's two words. Bad wolf. Well done, Caleb. Bad wolf. The word had appeared in every episode, but most people had missed it. And had the doctor and his companion Rose been paying attention, they might have realised that something big, something catastrophic was about to happen, and perhaps the outcome for each of them would have been quite different. If only they had been more aware and paying more attention. And one of the surprising things about the Gospel of Luke, and also the Acts of the Apostles, which was also written by Luke, is the number of times we hear the word repent or repentance. And yet it's there so often that when we read the Gospel and we read through the Acts of the Apostles, we run the risk of just glossing over the word and hardly noticing it, not giving it the attention that it demands. And it's true that whenever you hear something being repeated over and over and over again, you should pay particular attention to it. Now, I was asked this morning, Ruth asked me this morning, if we were going to sing another Daft B song, and we're not going to sing a song this morning, but on your tables you'll see slips of paper with little verses from either Luke or the Acts of the Apostles. And I'd like you to, if you grab hold of one of these bits of paper and just read out what's on the bit of paper, and we'll hear some of the references to repent or repentance that we find in the Gospel and in Acts. So where will we start? Well, we start over at this table. Grab a bit of paper, read out nice and loud so everyone can hear.
He went into all the country around the Jordan, teaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins.
Right. Next table.
I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent.
In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents.
The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
God
sends
his own right hand as Prince and Saviour, that he might grant Israel to repent and forgiveness. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, the times of refreshing may come from the Lord.
Great.
Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart.
So then, even the Gentiles, the Lord has granted repentance that leads to life.
Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and the baptism to all people of Israel.
I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must come to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus.
John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus.
In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent.
First, to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds.
Thank you very much for reading out all these verses. I'm sure there's more of them. They were just the ones that kind of leapt out as I was scanning through Luke and the Acts. There are, of course, the word repentance appears a myriad of other times in the scriptures. And clearly, repentance, individual, institutional, national repentance is the first step, the Bible says, towards the realm of God, towards the kingdom of God. And just as we say a puppy is not just for Christmas, repentance is not just for this season of Lent. Repentance is always in season. And yet in these sombre, introspective days of Lent, we're challenged through God's word to conduct a critical inventory of specific things for which we want to repent in our individual lives, in our households, in our congregation, and in the wider world. And once these things are identified, we can take the next steps to repent, to turn around, and bear the fruits of repentance. And in that passage that I read earlier from Luke 13, Luke tells us two stories which were shared with Jesus. First, there was the report of some worshippers who had been killed by the order of the Roman governor Pilate. And what we saw in the mosque at Christchurch last week has happened many, many times before, where people have gathered to worship and they've been attacked. And although it often goes unreported, more often than not, it's when Christian people gather to worship that these attacks happen. They happen in Pakistan, in parts of Africa, in South America, in the United States, and sadly, even in Scotland, the streets of the east end of Glasgow are not immune from people being attacked because they're worshipping. Jesus was asked if these people had sinned in some way, not preparing properly for the coming kingdom of God. And he answered with an emphatic no. They were not killed because of their sin. They were brutally murdered by the Romans. And then secondly, Jesus cites the story of the time a tower in Siloam, possibly part of the city wall, collapsed and fell on people, and 18 people were killed. And it must have been awful. And again, in recent years, we've seen the pain caused by loss of life because of walls collapsing or buildings or bridges collapsing and people being killed. And Jesus said that these 18 people who were killed by the falling of the tower at Siloam were no more guilty than anyone else living in Jerusalem. It was just they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. However, he warned, unless you repent, you too will perish. And so he links these deaths with the need in us to change something in our lives. So there's something very deadly about the sin that's in our lives and its consequences unless we repent. The Jewish people believed that a time was coming when God would suddenly stop everything. He would stop history and everyone on earth would be called to account. And we use the word apocalypse to describe that sudden stopping of history, that event. But Jesus, in the Gospels, makes it clear that although that day would certainly come, it was not yet. And so to illustrate that, he told the story of the fig tree, which did not bear any fruit. For 3 years it did not bear any fruit. And its owner looked in vain for fruit to appear on the tree, but there was none to be seen. And in anger he calls the man who looked after and worked the vineyard for him, and he told him to cut it down. But the worker said, not yet, not yet. Give it one more year. I'll dig around it and I'll fertilise it. We did that down at the primary school a few months ago, fertilising one of the willow structures. And just recently I was looking at it and it looks like it's more healthy and beginning to grow properly. The man said, I'll dig round the fig tree and fertilise it, give it a chance to bear fruit. And if it doesn't fruit after eating all of that, then I'll cut it down, he said. So we're in this in-between period. It's not a sudden change, but we're in this in-between period where change is beginning and one day change, the apocalypse event, will happen. And it's we've to be sure that the relationship between suffering and sin is important, but it's secondary to the driving concern of this passage in Luke's Gospel, which is the call to call people to repentance. This turning around. And just as the owner of the fig tree would judge whether the tree had borne any fruit and was therefore worth keeping, so too there will come a day when God will call every one of us to give an account of our lives, whether we have responded to God's call and turned our life around and repented and shown that by the fruits in our lives, our words and our actions, shown that we have changed and become followers of Jesus or not. And we're in this in-between time when we have time to do that. We can still respond to God's call on our life, but one day it will be too late. And the psalmist, many years before Jesus walked this earth, reminded us to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near in this in-between time. There's still time for repentance. There's still time to turn around. There's still time to bear good fruit in our lives. But the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, is coming. In Luke and Acts, to repent is to use this in-between time to turn away from the assumptions, the attitudes, the actions of the old age and live towards the values and practices of the new age, the realm of God as taught by Jesus and embodied in the life of the church, the eschatological community of which we read in Acts. So when we read this passage from Luke during the season of Lent, it becomes clear that repentance should be part of our preparation and the church's preparation for the day of resurrection, which itself comes in anticipation of Christ's second coming and the resurrection to salvation or judgment and eternal separation from the love of God. So let's make use of this in-between time and let's fertilise our lives with the spiritual things, and let's prove our repentance by our words and our deeds. We'll sing again.
This is our God, the servant King, who calls us now to follow him, and what with the offering during the song of the set.
seated. God of love, God of forgiveness, we offer our gifts this morning knowing that we represent and resemble those to whom Isaiah prophesied, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labour for that which does not satisfy? For we have chased after things that we thought would bring us joy and then find them to be empty and unfulfilling. And Lord, we long to return to you and invest ourselves in things that last and things that bring lasting joy as we seek you in every moment with all we have and all we are. Heavenly Father, your genius is evident in the beauty of nature, the complex structures of life, and the love you have shown us in Jesus Christ our Lord. We praise you for giving us the ability to know you as personal and compassionate, for the opportunity we have to place confidence and trust in your concern for us, and for the commission to serve and be supported by a loving, forgiving, redeeming fellowship. We thank you that in all situations of life, in isolation and solitude and seclusion, as well as in surging crowds and the chaos of traffic, you are interested, aware, and responsive to our lives and our actions. Lord Jesus Christ, we are reminded today in this season of Lent of the time you spent in the wilderness facing choices and wrestling with temptation and experiencing a period of testing that would shape the course of your ministry. A time which reminds us of your humanity, which tells us you were one with us, tempted just as we are. So in the wilderness of life today, be present with us, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you came through that time stronger, more sure of the path you must take and more confident of your ability to take it. So now we pray for those experiencing similar times of testing. We pray for those who are facing difficult and demanding choices, choices which entail pain and self-sacrifice, which mean letting go of cherished dreams, which involve facing awkward facts about themselves and others. We pray for those who are wrestling with temptation, who are torn between conflicting desires, who are uncertain, unsure of where they stand, who are uncertain about their ability to stand firm. And particularly, Lord, in these difficult days in our nation, we continue to pray for our Prime Minister and for all who serve in the Parliament at Westminster as they face the difficult decision of agreeing a deal or crashing out of Europe without a deal or even stopping the whole process. And we pray that they would seek your wisdom and you would supernaturally intervene for the good of our country and for the other nations of the European Union. We pray for all businesses who are caught in the current turmoil, who are unable to see a clear way forward, and particularly for those whose livelihood feels most under threat, that they would know a spirit of calm and that they would soon have the clarity they need. We pray for all who are anxious and fearful for the future, who are angry about decisions that have been made or not made. Lord, we pray for repentance in our nation. And where there has been unnecessary division, we pray for a coming together. And where there is a need for further change, the courage to move forward. Lord Jesus Christ, give strength to all who face testing times, a sureness of purpose and clearness of mind. Give the knowledge of your will and then the courage to make right decisions and the resolve to see them through. And may each emerge the stronger for all the experience and better equipped to face the future. So in the wilderness of life today, be present, O Lord, for in your name we pray. Amen. We'll sing our closing hymn and then have God's blessing.
out of heaven, send me out from here, Lord, to serve a world in need.
God, who is always forgiving, always loving, always offering a new beginning, be glory and honour, praise and thanksgiving this day and forever. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this Lent and always. Amen.